Oh, I tell you, I've been waiting several weeks to preach this today. It's a very deep message. We're going to walk through the book of Hebrews in a new light today. Hebrews is a fascinating book. There's so much of our inheritance is in that book. When you understand the fullness of that book, it really will impart the kind of faith to access what it is he wants you to access. Amen? And so I'm going to review just a little bit, a small overview of each chapter, and then I'm going to release this word on perfection, because Hebrews mentions perfection 12 times. And so he wanted you to know something about either says perfected, perfect, or perfection was mentioned 12 times in the book of Hebrews. It's actually the underlying theme of the entire book of Hebrews. And when we understand what perfection is, we can access it. When we don't understand what perfection is, we'll receive condemnation. One thing y'all need to understand right up front about perfection, it can never be obtained in the flesh. All right? And if you think you're going to obtain perfection in the flesh, you're going to stay in a place of condemnation, because you'll never obtain what it is he wanted you to obtain. Amen? So we need to know what perfection is, where perfection is, and how to obtain the perfection he was speaking of. Amen? Perfection is two things, and I'm going to get into that today. Before I do that, I'm going to just go through a couple of chapters here. First two chapters is differentiating the position of Christ versus the angelic domain, as well as our position as Christ's brothers, as sons and heirs. Those first two chapters deal about the position of angels in Christ and where he is positioned, and in our position with him as heirs, as sons, and brethren. He was not ashamed to call us a brother, okay? Those are the first two chapters he deals with that. Chapters 3 and 4, he begins to differentiate Moses' house versus his house. Moses' house under the old and versus his house, and he begins to introduce what is called the rest. And he begins to admonish us to enter into the rest. There's still a rest for the people of God. And he talks about what that rest is. We've taught on that. Chapter 5 introduces Christ as our heavenly high priest, called after the order of Melchizedek. He carries that in to chapter 7, and he begins to reveal, and we've taught on this heavily, he begins to reveal Melchizedek, and he differentiates Melchizedek's priesthood and Christ's priesthood that went after the order of Melchizedek versus Aaron and versus the Levitical priesthood. So that's chapter 5 and 7. Chapter 8 and 9, you have to understand the writer here is building something, and each time he's differentiating our dispensation versus that old. Now, chapter 8 and 9, he talks about the earthly tabernacle as compared to the heavenly tabernacle. It was a figure of things to come, but the true tabernacle the Lord pitched and not man. Chapter 10 is like a culmination. It differentiated our first and last covenant, our freedom, and then our access into what he's purchased for us. Chapter 11 is the Hall of Fame of Faith. These were all the Old Testament saints that were called to enter in, but something interesting says in the end of chapter 11, without us, they could not be perfected. There's a lot of weird doctrines about that. All that is they could not enter in without our covenant. They could not enter the dispensation that Jesus purchased for them. They could not enter into it. And then chapter 12, he admonishes us to receive the correction of our Father and then release or pursue our inheritance that's in Zion at the right hand of God. Throughout all these chapters, there's this underlying theme of perfection. And this is what we're going to get into today. We're going to look at the full perfection of what it is. And I'm going to tell you this, perfection is obtainable. But you got to know what it is if you're going to obtain it. If you think it's something you're going to attain in the flesh, you can forget it. You're never going to be perfect enough. That's not the perfection he was speaking of. All right, go to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. It says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. So you got to watch that kind of scripture too. But the laws of meditation, know what he's talking about? Oh yeah, let's leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ and let us go on into perfection. See that? He says, let us go on into perfection. He wouldn't have asked you to go into perfection if it was not obtainable. Amen? Of course, he doesn't describe what the perfection is till about 4 or 5 chapters later. Amen? He actually is building the theme all through, but here he says, let us go on into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. This we will do if God will permit. Now, notice what he's doing here. He's trying, the churches, they've been birthed, they've laid the foundation. But he's actually saying, let's move off of our foundation and let's move into the fullness. This whole book was about coming into the fullness of our inheritance with Christ. Many, many times we will sit and park our life in a foundation. And the writer of Hebrews was constantly admonishing him through this book and said, come on, let's go, let's go. He says, let's not build again. You can't just sit in the foundation and expect the fullness of what God has done. If you're sitting in the foundation, he goes, you're going to have to come out of that. Now, to know what he's saying here, when he says leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, you just back up a couple of verses in chapter 5. If you look at verse 8, let's look at this for a minute. Because he mentions the word perfect here, which got my attention. Look at chapter 5, verse 8. It says, though he were a son, speaking of Christ, he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. A better way to read that is he experienced obedience by what he had suffered. And being made perfect. Do you see that? He was made perfect. In fact, in Hebrews 2:10, he said, it made the captain of our salvation perfect. He was made perfect on our behalf. And became the author of eternal salvation, called of God, a high priest after Melchizedek. Now look at verse 12 here, because this is what he's picking up on from chapter 6, verse 1. When he says, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, he'll tell you what he's talking about here. For when with time we ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again to be the first principles of the oracles of God. See the first principles? That's what he said in Hebrews chapter 6, 1. Let us leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ. He was actually talking about, let us move off the first principles. Okay, we got them. Everyone say, I got it. After 20 years, I got it. But we have a tendency as the people of God to get stuck. We have a tendency as the people of God to stay in one place and camp. We get comfortable. And then when someone does decide to move out, sometimes they move out a little squirrely. And then when you look at someone that moves out squirrely and say, well, that ain't God. I don't want that. Because they don't move out according to the Word. And if we're going to move into perfection, we need to know what the Word is saying about it and not what we think about it. Amen? Because Paul's saying, look, we got to get off these principles and get into the meat. He goes, you have need of meat, but you're going back to milk. And he goes on to this and speaks about milk. If you look at this, he's trying to get the church to grow up because the fullness of God is in a mature church. And God's going to have to get us to grow up. And growing up means we're going to have to eat meat. And we're not going to grow up in our life when we're drinking milk. It's not going to work. So we have to learn to digest the fullness of God. When you begin to receive the fullness of his word, that meat is going to begin a maturing process in you. That meat's going to begin a process of maturing to bring you into fullness and stature where God can have his way with his church. Amen? So notice what he says here, chapter 5, verse 12, and when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again to be the first principles, which Paul was trying to get us off of those now. He goes, okay, you got that, but you can't live in that foundation all your life and expect fullness. And he says, which be the first principles and oracles of God, and become such as need of milk and not of strong meat. Everyone that useth milk, unskillful in the word of righteousness, he is a babe. Strong meat belongeth to those that are of full age. So if we're eating meat, guess where we're going? If we're not there, that's where we're going. Full age. God trust those that are full age. That's where God will trust us. That's where God will do his greatest works, with those that are full age. Amen. But to get to full age, we're going to have to come out of the comfort zone, and we're going to have to press into greater things in God. But we got to press in the right way. We got to go about it the right way. Because there is a lot of squirrely things, especially those that have to go out to the depths of God. They tend to get squirrely. And the main reason is because they're not going after it God's way, by God's word and what he says about it. And then they go after the wrong way, and then they get the wrong results. And people look at that and said, I'll just stay right where I'm at. But Paul, or whoever wrote the book, I think it was Paul, was saying, come on up. Let's go. So let's look at perfection now, because he's admonishing, let us, everyone say, let us go in to perfection. Now, the next time perfection is mentioned is in chapter 7. So let's go over to chapter 7. Let's look at verse 11. Now, here he's introduced Jesus, his high priesthood. He was called after the order of Melchizedek, and he's differentiating between the priesthood of Christ versus the Levitical priesthood, and he throws Melchizedek all in the middle of that. And we've taught this quite a bit, but I want to get into this part of the perfection and what he's saying here. Look at verse 11. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 11, he says, if therefore, you see this theme of perfection again, he's going to reintroduce it again. He talked in chapter 6. Chapter 5 now, chapter 7, he sees his perfection. He's going to say it again. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there any priest that should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not after the order of Aaron? What he's saying here, he said, look, God's high priest was coming out of Aaron's line, or Levi, because Levi was the priesthood, and they were called by succession. They were called naturally. They were called by birth. If you were in the lineage of the high priest, you didn't have to be called. You were already going to inherit that priesthood by succession and by birth. But God saying, look, if that priesthood could have brought us into perfection, he would have never had to call another priest. So what he did is he called somebody outside the line of Levi. He went into the tribe of Judah, and he raised somebody out of the tribe of Judah called Jesus. And he called him by an oath like he did Melchizedek. Melchizedek was called directly by God. He said, I call you outside the Levitical line because they could not obtain my perfection. They couldn't deliver my people into perfection. If the law could deliver you into perfection, what need would there be for another priest to arise? But this one is different, because this one sits at the right hand of God. This one did pass through the veil. This one did inherit the fullness. This one inherited all things. In fact, chapter 1, it says, God appointed him heir of all things, and he sits down at the right hand of God. He is our high priest. He is our mediator. He is our intercessor. He can deliver you where the Levitical priesthood could not deliver you. Amen? They couldn't obtain the perfection. A lot of people like to go back under a lot of that stuff and think that they're going to obtain some, but they can't. They cannot obtain the perfection. It wasn't possible. He's going to get into this as we go along. So, verse 11 says, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek? What further need? Why would he have to call somebody else? Better yet, why would you want to go back and do that? If it couldn't deliver you where God wanted you to be, why would you want to go back? Verse 12, for the priesthood being changed, there is made a necessity of change also of the law. See, under this new priesthood, there's a different law. He did away with the old, fulfilled it. We have a whole new operation under this new high priest, Christ Jesus. And he's bringing us somewhere that the old order could not bring us. He's going to deliver us into a place called perfection. Before he does that, he's going to bring you into a place of perfection, not by your works, lest any man can boast. Perfection is a place and a position. I'll say it again. I'll show you this before these end. Perfection is a place and a position that you have with God. Perfection cannot be obtained in the flesh. Perfection has already, in one part, happened to you. Verse 12, for the priesthood being changed, there's made a necessity, a change also of the law. For he whom these things are spoken, verse 13, pertaineth to another tribe, see Christ, which no man gave attendance to the altar. He called Jesus out of the tribe of Judah. He didn't call him out of Levi. There was no priest ever spoken of the tribe of Judah. All the priests came out of Levi. They came out of Aaron. Levi had the inheritance of the priesthood. But Judah, the lion of the tribe of Judah, there was never a priest ever mentioned. Well, that's why God called him by an oath. Called him directly out of Judah. Why did he do that? Because if he'd have called him out of Levi, he'd have got the same results as Levi. And that priesthood could not deliver us where God was looking to deliver us. And as we progress through the book of Hebrews, we'll find out where he wanted us to be. You'll learn how to read the book of Hebrews too. It's wonderful to understand the mystery of this book. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. For it is far more evident, verse 15, that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there riseth another priest. Now, when he says that, just so you know about Melchizedek, Melchizedek was called directly by an oath with God. God called him directly, and Jesus was called the same way at the River Jordan. This is my beloved son. Hear him. I now speak through him. He is my spokesperson. He is my appointed heir. I call him directly. The heavens opened. The Spirit of God fell, and the voice came out of heaven. So God testified through that oath that this is my new heir, he is my new high priest, and this is who I speak through now, called after another order, after the order of Melchizedek, and not after the order of Aaron. Verse 16, who is made not after the law of carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. What that means right there, the law of carnal commandment was simply God's institution of the Levitical priesthood. He commanded the high priest come out of succession of lines, and that carnal commandment is what called that priesthood. He was born a high priest. He didn't have to be called. If he was born in that lineage, he was the high priest by succession. That was according to the law of carnal commandment, but Christ was not born like that. I'm not trying to get too heavy with you because I really want to get into perfection. But just to understand what that means, he says, who made not after the law of carnal commandment, but the power of an endless life. He testified our priest at the order of Melchizedek. Now, look at verse 19. For the law made nothing perfect. Everyone say that. The law made nothing perfect. Perfect, yet that spirit seems to try to interweave itself again, time and time again, to come in and try to think that we can observe certain things and do things and perfection can come, but it cannot deliver the perfection that God was looking for. Amen? But the bringing in of a better hope did. But the bringing in of a better hope could bring you into perfection. By the which now we draw nigh unto God. We can come into a place with God that we could not go before. Now I want you to center into this bringing in of a better hope. Because he's picking up on something he said in chapter 6. Back up to chapter 6, verse 19. And he'll tell you what this hope is. Let's interweave what this hope is, because this hope is what's going to bring us into perfection with God. Oh, God, if you could get this. This is a heavy book. Look at Hebrews 6, verse 19. He says, which hope, what he said the bringing of a better hope did, the law made nothing perfect, bringing a better hope did. This is the hope he's speaking of right here. Which hope, chapter 6, verse 19, we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner for us has entered. See, Christ went through the veil, passed into the heavenlies. He went through the veil and he sat down at the right hand of God. And he set a hope within us that also, because he called him a forerunner. If he is a forerunner, he's running in front of somebody. That's me. Everyone say, he's running in front of me, but I'm right there behind him. Amen. And that hope is set within us. The law made nothing perfect, but bringing in of a better hope did. I have that hope within me. If my forerunner went through the veil, I can now go through the veil. If my forerunner sat down at the right hand of God, he shares that place of glory with me as a joint heir. I can now pass into that place and sit down there as well. And that is the perfection of God. It is a place. Let us go on into the perfection. It is a place, and it's also a position. Everyone say, booyah. Okay, go to chapter 9. We'll continue. Hebrews 9 and 1. Now, what he's going to do in Hebrews, he's bringing this off chapter 8. He's actually differentiating the tabernacle of Moses made by man and the Christ tabernacle that's made in the heavens. See, the Lord pitched the same tabernacle in the heavens. That was a figure of the true. And so he's differentiating these two, chapter 8 and 9. So he's going to pick this up in chapter 9 here. Verse 1, but verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly, say worldly, sanctuary. And he's going to talk about his sanctuary. Because it's not a worldly sanctuary. He's not pitching his sanctuary. We have church in buildings, but our inheritance and our sanctuary and our meeting place is not a tent made with man. It's a tent that the Lord pitched in the right hand of God, and he's inviting us to come and fellowship there. And you have been granted access. Oh, when we understand the word and the fullness of what he has purchased for us, and we begin activating our faith to come into what he has called us to be, he's going to release the glory of that place back into the earth. Woo! Let me tell you something. The next great revival is not going to come by some personality of a man. It just says it a little bit different. Somebody else. It's not going to come through a hype machine. It's not going to come by a gift. It's going to come by the body of Christ that goes into the fullness of our inheritance. When we go into perfection, we'll obtain what it is he wants us to obtain. Perfection is a place. Let's look at verse 6 here, chapter 9. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. That was a holy place. But into the second went the high priest alone every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself for the errors of the people. See, the high priest went in every year into the Holy of Holies. A lot of people said that the high priest had a rope around him. You know, the high priest had bells, and they tied a rope around him. And I see wisdom in that. Because that high priest going in, see, he had to make atonement for the people every year. If Chuck was high priest, I love Chuck. If Chuck was high priest and he was making atonement and the bell stopped jingling, I'm not going in and get him. I mean, I love him. He's a friend. But there ain't no way. If Chuck didn't make it, I'm not going in there. So we have a road. We can drag him out. I'm not going in there. Who are you going to go in there and get him? Kim about to be the only one in here that go in there and get him. So they put a rope around him. Now watch what verse 8. The Holy Ghost was signifying something because he went in year after year. By going in year after year, the Holy Spirit was signifying the way to the holiest of all. You can write perfection right there. the way to the holiest of all, which was the perfection the Levitical priesthood couldn't obtain to, that way was not yet manifest. The way to perfection was not yet manifest. That's why the priest had to keep coming and making the atonement, keep making the atonement, because the way was not open yet. See, there wasn't that final sacrifice, but he's building up into it. The final sacrifice had not been made yet. So the high priest had to keep making it, and it wasn't available yet. See, they couldn't obtain it. The Holy Ghost, thus signifying the way to the holiest of all, which was the perfection, was not yet made manifest, while the first tabernacle was yet standing. That's Moses' tabernacle. They couldn't obtain it, which was a figure for the time then present, which offered both gifts and sacrifice that could not make him that did the service perfect according to conscience. In other words, they had to keep coming in, but atonement had to get made every year. And then again, a year, there was no perfection obtained. So you had to keep coming back, offering the blood of innocent animal, offering the blood of innocent animal, offering the blood of the innocent animal. See, the perfection was not obtained. You see that? And so the conscience, those that were doing the service, were not made perfect in conscience because they had to keep making the sacrifice, keep making the sacrifice. There was something left undone. There was something left unfulfilled. There was something imperfect about the whole thing. And see, they couldn't be made perfect, but God was working it. Everyone say, work it. He was working it. He just hadn't got it in yet. But he was about to. Amen. Which stood in meats and drinks, divers washing. Look at verse 11. But Christ, being a high priest of good things to come. Everyone say good things. Verse 11, good things. Christ, being a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect. Look at that, perfect. See the word perfect again? Tabernacle. Guess who the tabernacle is? You. Guess who God lives in now? You. In order for God to have lived there, he must have obtained perfection, which is a position, which also is to allow that position of perfection to come into the place of perfection. That's why laws of meditation, you got to keep going on to the book, because he answers the questions gradually. All right. Verse 9 again, which a figure of the time then present, which were offered both gifts and sacrifice that could not make him that did the service perfect. Verse 11, but Christ being come as a high priest of good things. Everyone say, I'm in the good thing. By a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say of this building. It's not made with hands. It was made by the hand of God. And the next chapter, he's going to describe the perfection that was obtained, the position, the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but the blood of his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, not like the high priest year after year. Signifying the Holy Spirit, signifying the way that the holiest of all was not made perfect. The way to perfection was not ready yet. See, but he went in what? Into the holy place, having obtained the eternal redemption. Now he's going to repeat this in chapter 10. But when he goes in, he gets it done. And he doesn't have to go in there anymore. Once he goes in, it is forever finished and you are forever perfected. Which gives you the right to go into perfection. Perfection is a position. Perfection is a place. Okay, go to Hebrews chapter 10. Oh, this is a fascinating chapter right here. All right, Hebrews chapter 10. Y'all ready for this? Now, this is the culmination of perfection here. This chapter releases that perfection. All right, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the thing. The law's not going to deliver you into the image. Don't be messing around with it. Every so often, season after season, someone comes up and they start dabbing all up into that thing and they think they're going to find God up in there, and it's not. It was a whole shadow. It was just painting a picture of the real. Listen, the fullness of God lives in the right hand of God. It doesn't live in the history. It lives in what He already has done for you. For the law is a shadow of good things come, and not the very image of the things can never. With those sacrifices which they offered year by year, they were coming in, offering, and the high priest would come in year by year, could never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. It couldn't bring to perfection. The comers unto God could not obtain the perfection. But I can, and you can, and I did, and you did. Believe this or not, you already are perfected in the part of you that counts, in the part of you that God is receiving, and that part of you that's been perfected is what allows you to go into perfection. You have perfected and perfection. Perfected is a position. Perfection is a place. You can't go to perfection without perfected. All right. Verse 2, for then would they have ceased to be offered. If it had brought the perfection, they would have ceased the sacrifice. Because the worshipers, once purged, would have no more consciousness of sin. But in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance again made of sin every year. He's referring to perfection and the consciousness of sin. Well, as long as there's a consciousness of sin, there is no perfection. Go to verse 12. Speaking of Christ, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, he brought that blood into the holiest holies, not in the tabernacle made by man, but the one the Lord pitched in the heavens, forever sat down at the right hand of God. And he said, sit here at my right hand, Psalm 110, and I'll make all your enemies. The enemies of Christ, there's only one real enemy, and that's the law of sin and death. He goes, sit here at my right hand, and I'll make all your enemies thy footstool. Because he released his blood, laid it on the mercy seat of heaven, and sat down at the right hand of God. And the Father says, it is finished. It is done. It is enough. That's one offering. No more priesthood of the old. No more need for the high priest to come in any longer. I've accepted the sacrifice. Verse 13. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Verse 14. You should live, breathe, eat, and sleep. This scripture. For by one offering he hath perfected forever. Perfected forever. Everyone say perfected forever. The perfection was obtained when I was born again. I am not a sinner saved by grace. I was a sinner. I am a bona fide son. I was buried with him in baptism and raised in the newness of life. Raised in the glory. He perfected my spirit. I am a new creation. Forever perfected. There doesn't need to be another sacrifice for me year after year after year. My flesh is not perfected, but my new man is perfected. My soul may not be perfected, but my spirit is. And that's the part of me that he receives. That's the part of me he presents faultless before the presence of his glory. That's the part of me that's accepted in the beloved. That's the part of me that's holy and without blame. He presents me blameless, holy. That's the part of me that now, because I am forever perfected, my new man is perfected in God, I now can go into perfection. Because I have been forever perfected, I now, that new man has access because he's been perfected in position. I now, because I have the position of being forever perfected, if you think you're a sinner saved by grace, you won't go where God wants you to be in this life. That's why God requires we believe what he did. When you go to the Father, he's not accepting your flesh. He's accepting that new man. And that new man has every right to sit down. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things that are above and not upon the earth, for you are dead. You were buried with him in baptism, and your life is now hidden away with Christ. You were raised with him into glory. You were forever perfected, which gives you now the legal right to enter into perfection. Where do you think you're entering into? You're entering into where he just sat down. He went and sat down at the right hand of God. And this is the glory of the whole gospel. The reason why he came, listen, he was sat at the right hand of God before you ever were born. He came down here, died. You died with him. He was raised. You were raised with him to seat you next to him, give you a bona fide seat of joint heirship in the right hand, which is the Holy of Holies, which is perfection, which is the rest, which is the Father's bosom. I am forever perfected in position because of that one sacrifice. Not only did he wash me, he made me a new creation, which classified me as being forever perfected. Now I can go into perfection. Without that new man having been perfected, I could not go into perfection. That's why Paul in Hebrews 6, he says, look, let's leave the foundation now. We got it laid. Let's go on up. You are a new man. You're a new breed. You're forever perfected. He finished the work. Now go into where he's calling you now. Go into perfection. And he goes on to say this, look at this, verse 14, for by one offering he hath forever perfected them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness for us. For after that he said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. I'll put my laws in their hearts and their minds. I'll write them, their sins and iniquity I'll remember no more. He wrote his nature in you. He wrote the law in you in a form of a brand new man, a new creation that was forever perfected in the sin and iniquity he remembers no more, because he buried that when he went to hell. He buried the old man of sin. Well, how come I still struggle? Because you're still wearing a body. You still got a soul that needs work. Some of our souls need more work than other people's. But your new man is the perfected part of you, and that new man has a right to go into perfection. All right, look at verse 19. We're going to wind this up because we're going to get into something really heavy here. Look at verse 19 here. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. After everything I just said, what did I say? Perfection, forever perfected, is a position. Perfection is a place. Now that he got your position in verse 14, you are forever perfected in position. Now let us go into perfection, the place. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of all by the blood of Jesus. Having therefore, boldness to enter into the perfection. Enter into the perfection. See, the high priest kept coming in to the holiest of all. The Holy Spirit was signifying the way to perfection was not made available. Now that it is made available, now that he forever perfected you, you have a right to go into the Holy of Holies. You can now go into perfection by the new and the living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. Verse 21, having a high priest over the house of God, let us now draw near. Let us draw near. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having a heart sprinkled from the evil consciousness. See, the evil conscience was done away with. See, the new creation is intact. I am forever perfected in position. I can go into perfection, the place. Perfection is not in the earth. The place of perfection, let us go into perfection, is in the right hand of God, was not available, which is the Holy of Holies. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39. Now, in Hebrews, about he that cometh to God must first believe that he is. See, we're coming into the right hand. Then he lists the whole book of Hebrews, the chapter 11. He's listing the hall of fame of faith of the Old Testament saints. All the ones whose faith had wrought exploits, had quenched the mouths of lions. And he goes through all of them, okay? And he ends up saying something very remarkable at the end of chapter 11. Let's pick it up in verse 39. And these all, say these all, these are the Old Testament saints, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, Christ was a priest of good things to come. Having received some better thing for us, they without us should not be perfected. Well, there's a doctrine going around that we're going to obtain perfection in this life here. One day God's going to come in. I heard him speaking about it, and we're going to obtain perfection as we walk. We're going to be the manifested sons of God. And we'll be a perfect breed of man, spirit, soul, and body. Listen, perfection was already obtained. The manifestation of the sons of God is already here. Now, when we want to manifest the right hand of God, that's a different thing. We're going to manifest the right hand of God when we learn to go into that place and receive the glory of it. Amen. They without us could not be perfected means they without our covenant, without the blood that was presented through Jesus for our covenant, could not be perfected. They had the good report of faith. All their lives, they changed nations, they wrought righteousness in the earth, they did mighty exploits, but they never entered in. That whole Old Testament crew did not enter in to the perfection of God, could not enter because that priesthood couldn't release them in unless they were operating on account of righteousness like Abraham and David, which is another teaching. But for the host of them could not enter in because the perfection was not available, because there was no new nature by which they could be perfected first to enter into perfection. They without us could not have been perfected without our dispensation, without our covenant. They could not enter in. We can. They did. As soon as Jesus released his blood, he went and preached to the spirits in prison, which was Abraham's bosom. They were just held captive there. They couldn't inherit the kingdom. And he led captivity captive. And he led a host out of Abraham's bosom. Every one of them received the perfection. They received that position of being forever perfect. They were all born again. He preached to them in Abraham's bosom. They all got born again. And he led captivity captive and led them all up into heaven. Isn't that awesome? They without us could not be perfected. Without our dispensation, they couldn't be perfected. Everyone say, I can. Everyone say, I am forever perfected. Now I'm going in to perfection. You couldn't go into perfection without being perfected, because perfection lives in the right hand of God, and that place was inaccessible until Jesus forever perfected you. Now that you're forever perfected, perfection is not only accessible, it's obtainable. I am a citizen of the kingdom. I am a son of my Father. I am a joint heir with Christ in the right hand of God, and I receive the fullness of his glory to bring back into this earth, in this hour, in this generation. Give him a hand. Hallelujah. All right. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39. Here we go. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing that your compass was so great a cloud of witnesses, guess who they are? All the ones that went before you, especially the Old Testament crew. The ones in chapter 11, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. That's the ones in your flesh. You don't have any sin in your spirit. Your spirit's perfected. I think we've covered that today. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Where was he saying? Let us go into perfection. What's he authoring? The pathway to perfection. He's finishing the pathway to perfection. Where is he at? Because he's the author and the finisher, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God as an intercessor, as a mediator. He is now interceding at the right hand of God, Romans 8, for you to come up, for you to come into. You are forever perfected, now come into perfection. You are forever perfected, come into perfection. I've opened the gate. I've granted you access. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father by me. I've made the way to be where I am. There you shall be also. Where I am with the Father, there shall you be also. My glory that I have with the Father to sit down at the right hand of God is my glory. I give it to you. Not even the angels could come up there, but you can. You can. The Father gave me the highest place in the universe at the right hand of God, and I now freely share it with you, says the Spirit of grace. Not even the angels have access to what he's granted you and I. Who are we? Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God and granted joint heirship with him. Verse 18. You are not come unto a mountain that can be touched. That's not where I'm thinking. Sinai was not the perfection, see. You're not coming to Sinai. Sinai is where the law was coming. Because you're not coming to that mountain that can be touched with your hands. That's not where I'm leading you. That's where I led them. That was a type and shadow. Verse 22, but you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to innumerable company of angels, the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. You're not coming to a mountain to be touched, but I'm bringing you into Zion, the right hand of God, the general assembly of the firstborn, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. To the spirits of just men made perfect, the forever perfected have found perfection. The ever forever perfected came into perfection in Zion. Forever perfected came into the right hand of God. Perfection. Isn't that awesome? And into Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Isn't Hebrews awesome? Boy, we walked through it today. The blood of the sprinkling, the speaker, better things than Abel. Now here's the admonishment. Here's the close, verse 25. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on the earth, how much more shall we not escape if we turn away, If we turn away from him that's speaking from heaven, he's speaking from the right hand. He's interceding from the right hand. He is calling you up. See that you don't turn away from that calling. For if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But those that continue on in the course, let us go on into perfection. Let's leave the foundation now. We've built it, and let us grow up into fullness. Let the forever perfected go into perfection. Amen. Come on, let's stand. Let's give him a hand. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, Father. I thank you for your word. I thank you for this awesome place we have been granted, Father. Joint heirship with Christ at the right hand of God. We are forever perfected, and we come into perfection, Father. The spirits of just men made perfect. We choose to follow you all the way, Jesus. We choose to follow him that's speaking from heaven.